Our subject is Peter, the leader. I thought it'd be good, actually, if we could identify with Peter a bit, because it may help us understand what's going on. But also be good to start as Peter the fisherman. So what would happen? We would have our sandwiches and we would go off down to the quayside to collect our boat, sort the nets out, whatever. But what could we be thinking about while we were doing that? Could we be thinking about what sort of fish we would catch that day? What did we catch last week? Was it a good day, bad day? What's the weather going to be? Even down to, should I be changing the boat? Is it like a car, you know, you change it every so many years? Or even, will I be doing this while I retire? You know, is it a life's work being a fisherman? He could be thinking these things, sort of things we would think about. But things changed because one day on the beach appeared Jesus. And he was addressing a crowd with scripture. And at a certain point, there were two boats on the beach and the fishermen were cleaning their nets. And he got in one of the boats and said, "Peter, can you take me out just offshore, just a little way?" And he stood up and preached to the people. And probably the reason he did that was because sound travels off water. If you want people to hear things on a beach, go into the water and shout. The whole beach will hear you. So it was a positive thing to do. And after he'd spoken to the people, he said, "Peter, can you take me out a little bit further to deeper water?" And he did so, and he said, "Will you chuck down the net?" But Peter said, "Well, hang on. We fished all night last night and didn't catch a thing. But because you say so, Lord, I'll put the net down." The key thing is Jesus spoke. The word of the God was, put the net down the other side. He could have listened to the voice of the enemy. He said, "We fished all night. No, no way. I know these waters. I've fished them for years. No way." But because the Lord has said, put down that net, he did so. And he caught so many fish, he virtually sank the boat. In fact, he called his friends, James and John, over to help him load the boats. Now, what would Peter be thinking at that time? You know, he was probably overwhelmed, for a start, with so much fish. He'd never seen so much in his life in one catch. But it suddenly hits him. He had a light bulb moment. There was something very significant about the person sitting in the boat with him. He got down on his knees in front of Jesus and he said, "Lord, away from me. I am a sinful man." He recognised the lordship of Jesus Christ at that moment. And the Lord said to him, "Don't be afraid, Peter. It's okay. At the moment, you'll be catching fish like this, but in the future, you'll catch men like this." I sense that as the prophetic act Jesus did with Peter that day. He showed him, by demonstrating what he did with the fish, what he would be doing with mankind. So Peter was encouraged that day, and he must have been really enthralled with the Lord. He must have really felt, "God, this guy is worth following," because he put down everything. Oh, the nets, the lot, the boats, he just cleared off and left it behind. I mean, could we do that? Could we turn around and say, "Lord, I'm going to follow you. No matter what's going on in my life, I'm after you now." But that's what they did. And partway along the journey, there was a discussion one day about who was the greatest. The Lord said, "Who do people say I am?" And some said, "Well, John the Baptist." Some said, "You're a prophet." He said, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, we know the story, "You are the Christ, the living God." And he says, "Well done, Peter. Blessed are you. Because you could not have been revealed that by man. It was by God alone." Peter had an inkling in the boat that day that who Jesus was. And he confirmed it. Jesus confirmed it for him that day. So Peter was one step ahead than the rest of the guys. The next thing, we pick up the story again. After the feeding of the 5,000, when they all got involved, and this incredible act, the Lord said, "Put the boat out to sea, out on the lake. I'm going off to pray." So they go out on the lake. We know the story. It gets near dusk. A bit of a wind came up. And Jesus comes out walking on the water towards the boat. And they think it's a ghost, so they cry out. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it's only me." And Peter says, but if it's you, Lord, will you tell me to get out of the boat and walk on the water? And Jesus said, come. One simple word, come. The Lord had spoken. Peter asked the question, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And because he said, come, Peter very tentatively got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. Maybe 5 steps before he realized reality was wind and waves. He starts to sink. But does Jesus let him go? No. He takes him by the hand, rescues him, brings him back in the boat. And they had a time of praise and worship. But Peter was obedient to the point. Even though he failed, he was obedient to a point. Now, how would we have felt in that situation? If we'd had the courage to stand out and walk on the water, and we did what Peter did, sank, or started to sink, how would we feel? Would we feel we failed the Lord because we responded to an instruction? Would we feel bad, guilty? Would we feel he won't give us another chance? Maybe there's some of the things that we could be thinking about. And maybe we've encountered this sort of thing. We said, yes, Lord, I'll do anything for you. We come out of a conference full of fire. I'll go with the Lord to the next stage, no trouble. And then something happens and we tend to walk away. Pick up the story again in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus said to them, watch and pray. Go over there and watch and pray. I'm going to disappear for a minute and come back. And every time we know when he came back, they were asleep, sleeping. And on a third occasion, it was Peter he spoke to. Peter, he said, watch and pray because the enemy is prowling around. He wants to get at you. He warned Peter. Peter said, no, it's fine. A bit later that time, that night, Jesus, being when he's arrested, or before he got arrested, said to Peter, before that cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter said, no way, Lord. I will never disown you. I'll even go to jail with you. I'll even lay down my life for you. I mean, such courage that Peter's got. I mean, could we do that? Could we say that to the Lord? Could we say, I'm so enthralled by you, Lord, I will do anything for you, as Peter did? And of course, as we know, Jesus got arrested, and various people came up to Peter and said, we've seen you with this guy 3 times, and on a third occasion, the cock crowed. What do you think Peter felt? What do you think he felt that third occasion when he suddenly realised a light bulb moment again? He realised what he'd done. And to compound it, he turned and the Lord looked straight at Peter. Straight at him. What did it say to Peter's heart? Did it say, you let me down, Peter? I trusted you, you let me down. Or did it say, you're a failure? I'm sure we often believe we're failures. For me, I find it difficult. If people let me down more than once, I find it difficult to trust people. You know, to build up trust again. But what was going on in the Lord's mind? Peter must have felt really, really bad. And yet, the Lord always restores. And of course, after the resurrection on the beach, Jesus served up breakfast. Had to be fish. He said to Peter 3 things we know. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know, no, I do. On a third occasion, Peter, do you love me? Basically saying, what does your heart say, Peter? I know what's going on up here. What does your heart say? Does your heart say, I love you, Lord? I'll go anywhere with you. I've shown that. I failed, I know, but I've shown that. And my heart says, I love you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, that's great. That's great, Peter. And of course, then we move into Pentecost. When all this training Peter's had, all the encouragement, all the affirmation comes to fruition. When he stood up that day on Pentecost, after they were all accused of being drunk because the Holy Spirit came on them and speaking in tongues, he stood up and he proclaimed the gospel very, very clearly. And right at the end, he said, God, whose son Jesus Christ, you have murdered. And they were cut to the heart. What should we do, Peter? What should we do? Cut to the heart. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people were added to that number that day. Think back to the fish in the net. The haul of fish in that net, the Lord showed him he was doing it with mankind. And Peter went on. He was the Lord's rock. He was going to grow the church. That's the Lord's appointed man, Peter. He had what it took to do the job. And it moves on. And it's here in John outside the temple that day when the crippled beggar was sitting there. He says, much silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he helped him up and he walked. And he went from strength to strength. And even on the clip on the jail, even the jailers, even Herod couldn't hold him back. Because he was on the Lord's mission. There's no stopping him now. All those guards in prison, the chains on his wrists, the Lord set him free. And the encouraging thing there is the people praying in the background were part of the solution. We don't recognize, do we expect to see what we pray for? You know, they were surprised. Why? They asked the Lord, he answered the prayer. And it's part of a teamwork operation. It's not just Peter, but it's a teamwork operation. So what can we learn from this? Well, we, in the beginning, in this church, look in the Jesus ministry or living free, are considering our original design, DNA. See, what was in Peter, the leadership skill was there from the very beginning. All the Lord had to do was to bring it out of Peter. Because otherwise he'd have stayed fishing all his life. He was a leader in the fishing industry, but he wasn't a leader as the Lord wanted him to be. And same for us. When we have a DNA appointment, we're told that our DNA or our blueprint is such and such. And then all, well, if we say that, Lord, okay, if that's what it is, Lord, I want to go in that direction rather than dismiss it, the Lord can do all sorts of things with us. And we should be encouraged to pray for one another, because praying for one another, as they found, is so significant. So I'm saying to you this morning, off the back of what the Lord can do with Peter, and he failed the Lord many times. If we failed the Lord said, that's fine, I'll sort it out. Don't worry, I still want you to do such and such and such and such. Right? Failure is not in the kingdom of God, failure is in the enemy's kingdom. So I leave it with the thought this morning, is Peter the leader? Are we leaders? Are we in the area or in the realm the Lord has called us to be in our blueprint? That's my leaving thought. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you that for each one of us, you have that eye blueprint that is so significant, that is so unique, that it's part of our makeup, it's part of our calling. Lord Jesus, just ask that every single one of us in here this morning will come to a new revelation about what you have planned for each one of us. Lord, help us to open our heart to you and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you, whatever the cost, whatever it takes, whatever mistakes are made, Lord, will you do your work in me? That I can be your sovereign person, Lord Jesus, that I can be able to minister to those around me, able to help those around me. Whatever your calling is, may I step into those shoes, Lord Jesus, you've given to me. And I ask this for your name's sake. Amen.